Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It is Wednesday night, the 8:30 hour. Time for words of wisdom, plain and simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams, a servant of God. It's always an honor and a privilege to come before the people of God and be used by God. I am grateful, and I thank God for the opportunity. And I thank each and every one of you who took time out of your busy schedule to join us in fellowship as we expound on the Word of God. It's a beautiful thing. And I thank each and every one of you. And tonight, we're going to have a lesson. And it's going to come out of the book of Genesis. Genesis, the 19th chapter, the 17th. Hallelujah. And the title of our lesson is, You Can't Move Forward by Looking Back. You can't move forward by looking back. Looking back, you don't know what's ahead of you. Looking back, you don't know what's in front of you. Looking back, you may stumble. Our lesson tonight, again, I say it's coming out of the book of Genesis, the 19th chapter. So at this time, as always, I'm going to play a song. And once we have the song, we're going to take and we're going to go to God's throne of grace where mercy can be found.
If it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, I don't know where I would be. Fellowship, let's go.
My testimony is real.
is always sufficient, on time, and exactly what you need.
God's grace is sufficient, but you got to believe it to achieve it. There's a caller on the line, and the button is pressed. I don't know if it was intentionally or by mistake, but I'm going to open up the mic. The mic is already open for this caller. Caller, your number is 504-75613. Did you press the one button? So it may have been an error. So at this time, it's time for us to go to God's throne of grace. Hallelujah. And as always, I afford the opportunity for anyone who would like to pray can press the one button on your phone, and I'll open up your mic if anyone would like to pray. God is extending the opportunity here tonight. And if anyone would like to pray. Yes. The studio had a pause, but I'm back on. Praise be to God. And I asked if anyone would like to pray. So I'll go ahead on and lead us to the throne of grace. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, the giver of every perfect gift, our Lord, our Savior, our Master, the great I Am. God, you are everything to us, everything that we'll ever need. And for that, I say thank you. For that, dear God, I'm grateful. God, just like the song said, your grace is sufficient. And I'm so thankful because I really don't look like what I have been through in life. It's all by your grace, all things through Christ Jesus. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you for everyone that has called in on the line. And I thank the Holy Ghost for being able to use me, a vessel made of clay. Lord, I pray that there's illumination and revelation of the word that goes forth on tonight. I pray that the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. And God, I'm going to ask a blessing as you bless Samuel, dear God. You say that the words that he would speak would never fall to the ground. And Lord, I'm asking that blessing on tonight, so that your people will be revived, your people will have information to hold on to, your people will be exalted. Lord, this is my prayer on tonight, and I thank you, I praise you. Lord, I ask for special blessings on the words of wisdom, plain and simple. Broadcast, everyone that listen by phone or those who look at it on a computer, and also other countries that has dialed in. I want to thank the people in Canada as well as the people in Africa. I want to thank the few people that call, and I don't want to minimize it because few is better than zero, the people in even in China. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity that you have allowed me to be here where your word could go through the airwaves and someone could receive it. Because it's our duty, our God-given duty to share the word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I thank you for this opportunity, because everything we get to do, dear God, is an opportunity afforded by you. So again, tonight I say thank you. I say glory be to your wonderful name. I say hallelujah, which is the highest word of praise. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen and thank God. Glory, hallelujah. And again, I'm going to say the title and where it could be found in the holy word of God. The title of the lesson tonight is, You Cannot Move Forward by Looking Back. You cannot move forward by looking back. You know, when you're looking backwards, when you're moving and you turn your head and look backwards plenty times, you know, it gets you off course. And then there's other times, if you're not looking forward and there's an obstacle in your way, you could stumble and fall. And then sometime when you're looking back instead of forward, you could lose your direction. So tonight I just want to say you can't move forward by looking back. We're in the book of Genesis, the 19th chapter, the 17th through the 26th verse. You know, the Bible teaches us that yesterday is gone. Tomorrow's not promised. So we have to learn to live in today. Let the past stay in the past. And look forward to a brighter day. And I'm going to do a little background like I always do. And our background tonight is about Lot. But I really understand that it's impossible to speak about Lot without talking about Abraham. You see, Lot was Abraham's nephew. Abraham had a brother, and his brother name was Haran, and he died. And Abraham took on the responsibility of Lot. Hallelujah. You see, God called Abraham, and God gave Abraham a command to leave his family and where he was staying and go. And he told him, go. Abraham had no idea where he was going, but what he did, he took his wife and his nephew Lot. He took all of his possessions and he left, not knowing where he was going. But he trusted God. You know, sometimes God will tell us to do something, speak to our heart, and we don't understand why. And sometimes we diss it. We might say, oh, that's Satan telling me that. You know, you might say, I didn't hear the instructions well. But God speaks to his children, y'all. Just like he spoke to Abraham. God spoke, Abraham left because he trusted God. You see, Abraham and Lot, because Lot could have said he didn't want to go. But Lot went along as well. You see, these two men for the story that we're going to touch on tonight and the other biblical understanding of Lot and, of course, our father Abraham, God chose him. And here we see God chose these two, and they obeyed God and moved from the land to the land that God had promised. You see, God had a master plan, and he chose the players. See, God always choose who he want to do what he want to do. That's why it's often said, what God has for me is for me. And sometimes God is choosing us for assignments that we are not accepting. For whatever reason it is, some people say they never hear from God, but God is constantly speaking to his people, trying to get us to perform the things that he has orchestrated in his master plan and the development of what he wants for our lives. But we have to listen. You see, because God chooses the players, and he always chooses the right person for the right reason, for the right season. You see, as you study the life of Lot and Abraham, with all the disappointments, the acts of distrust that's in their life, if you read their story, and sometimes pride on their part. But you see, God was still always working it out for their good. I want to let you know tonight that God knows your shortcomings. God knows already what you're going to do and don't do. But still, God has something for you to do. You see, he never allow our past to dictate our future. And if God has something for you to do, it's going to be done because it's his will, and you can't stop it and you can't block it, even in your midst, in your mess, even in your shortcomings. You got to realize it's all a part of God's plan, and where he guides, he also provides. You see, Abraham and Lot had gained so much traveling and being led by God. I'm talking about the provisions, y'all. They had gotten so much because God had truly blessed them. Because you see, they trust God and they started out with faith. And with faith, there's always blessing. They had gotten so much that it was impossible for them to stay together. Abraham had a lot. Lot had a lot. And it just was so much. And they had workers and cattle and things. And they workers weren't getting along at this time. And there wasn't enough grass for their herds to feed. You see, Abraham decided they should separate. And he told Lot, if you go to the right, I'll go to the left. Look at Abraham, the leader, giving Lot, the follower, first pick. It's the kind of man he was, y'all. Now, here is where we see Lot's selfishness. You see, Lot looked at what he thought was the best of the choice. We are told that we shouldn't let the green grass fool us because the grass always looked greener on the other side. So he chose the land close to Solomon and Gomorrah. And before you know it, he was lured in. You see, Solomon was a city of great riches. And there were other cities and towns on the plain. We often hear Solomon and Gomorrah, but on that plain there was five cities. Solomon and Gomorrah was two of them. They had two other ones, and something's going to come up in the scripture where you'll see is Zoar. Zoar was one of the cities as well. So there was five together on this plain. They would call it the city of the plain. And so that's what he picked. And so the people in Solomon, they had it going on, y'all. They had the finest food, exquisite clothing, and many other goods, whatever you could imagine. They had items of luxury. And the citizens were self-satisfied, but they was also very prideful about their existence. They had it going on and they knew it. Because of that, they saw no need to seek after God. Also, Solomon was a wicked place. The scriptures had shown us that they were not hospitable to strangers, and they often mistreated the poor. You see, also the cities was dealing with all sorts of sexual sin, homosexuality, and unnatural sex. They was perverted, y'all. They were so perverted that God told Abraham that he was going to destroy the entire city. Abraham knew his few Lot was there. So Abraham negotiated with God on behalf of the city. Y'all know the story. He said, if I could find 25 people, that's right, I won't, hallelujah, destroy the city. And the number kept going down, and there was not one righteous. But God agreed that he would spare Lot and his family, not the cities. You see, it's good to have somebody that knows God in your life. Somebody you know could go to God and you know God hears their prayers, and somebody you know that loves you and concern about you. You see, God didn't do this for Lot. God did this for Abraham. You see, this was not the first time after their departure that Abraham had to rescue Lot. One time there was a war in Solomon, and they were defeated. And Abraham heard about it and went and handled the situation and rescued Lot. It seemed that Lot was more trouble to Abraham than help. But you see, Abraham loved for people, people in general, and of course for his family, would always make him act. You see, once in Solomon, Lot joined in the customs, the faults, the bad habits, and the blatant disobedience to God. Lot appeared to have been walking in faith while he walked with Abraham. It's amazing how you could have people that long as they're with you and in your presence, they decide to do what's right. But when they get out on their own or they're in another environment, they do it another way. It wasn't that Lot, Abraham hadn't taught Lot the things of God. And Lot exhibited his faithfulness to God while he was with Abraham. But in Sodom and Gomorrah, he began to slip and fall. Lot now is not walking in faith. See, he saw the fine luxury, the clothes, the food, the this, the that, the this, the that. And he started looking at things he could see. But we all know faith is the substance of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen. If you could see it, you don't need faith. You see, Lot lived with righteous teaching from Abraham. And he knew who God was. Abraham did his job. You know, sometimes we do our job. I could give an example with a little boy. Many of you may have heard of him or know him, Cain, that I have in my life. And Cain acts a certain way when he's with me, and he acts a different way when he's with someone else. And you see, even though he know, you know, the right things and the right things to do and say, whenever he has the opportunities, and it's a little boy, y'all, he just made six, he, you know, decide to do it maybe a different way. But one day God spoke to me, because I was, you know, battling with that a little bit. He said that my job was to let him know right from wrong, and he have enough in him to decide for right when he want to do right. And he also have the ability to do what's wrong. And I'm talking about a six-year-old child. How many children is raised in a godly home? And especially like they say, the preacher's kids. And they be all saying they can't wait till they get grown. If they go to church, they're going to go when they want. And then many times go out and do all kind of things, like the prodigal son when he left his father's house. But all he did was hit rock bottom. But because what was in him, he realized he needed to go back home. And then, you know, even when that happened, we got to be waiting with open arms to receive him back, like the father and the prodigal son did. But Abraham did his job. And when you do your job and you do what God has assigned to you to do and it don't turn out like you would expect, you got to keep it moving. You can't keep looking back. And if you keep looking back, you will not be able to go forward. You know, we know Lot was righteous, because if we look at 2 Peter 2:7, the scripture said that Lot was a righteous man. Abraham did his job. But it don't always turn out like you want it. You see, Lot's story is also an illustration of God's great mercy. You see, in spite of Lot's poor choices, God saved him and his daughters from a violent end and Solomon. And watch this, y'all. And he preserved his line throughout the ages. See, what God has for you, he's going to give it to you. And if God made you a promise, even though you mess up, it don't cancel the promise. Hallelujah, y'all. Because if it canceled all the if your disobedience could cancel the promise, I would believe that some of the Israelites, and I have to say some because many have accepted to follow Christ, the Israelites, the Jews, would no longer be the promised people. God made that promise, and he don't take it. He's not an Indian giver. And as much as they messed up, God was right there seeing them through. And that's the way God is with us. And we have to know that. So after I gave that background and we talked about God destroying Solomon and Gomorrah, this is where our scripture is going to start today, tonight rather. So I'm going to start at the 15th verse, and it reads, okay, God is ready to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And it says, and when the morning rose, then an angel hastened Lot, saying, arise, take your wife and your two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquities of the city. See, God is getting to destroy the city, but it's amazing that God always warned his people of what's going to happen, of what he's about to do. So God sent the angel there and told him, get ready, because I'm fixing to destroy the city. And on verse 16, and while he lingered, they say, okay, come on now. God's going to save y'all. Isn't it amazing? Even while God is saving them, Lot is now lingering. How many of us maybe did that when God told us something? It could have been to leave a bad relationship. Or stop hanging with a certain crowd. It could have been many things. So he told him, come on, Lot. And Lot lingered. And the man, the angel, laid hold upon his hand and upon his hand of his wife. You know, he grabbed the hands and upon the hands of his two daughters. And he's like almost dragging them, pulling them out to safety. The Lord being merciful unto you. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. They took him out by force almost. Come on, y'all. When we look at these scriptures just read, you see, after Abraham prayed to God for the safety of Lot and his family, and God agreed, the angels went. And the angel almost had to pull them out. They was hesitant. And why? Lot did not want to abandon his wealth. He had became a wealthy man, probably by doing things he shouldn't have done that didn't please God. You see, he had prestige and many comforts he was enjoying in Solomon. And it was hard for him to move forward because he was looking back at what he would leave behind. He is now a prosperous citizen of Solomon. Oh, he held a high position in the civic and the social life of the city. In other words, Lot was a VIP in Solomon. And I'm sure his wife enjoyed it also. Probably he never intended to drift into the worldly, sensual, dishonoring God and Solomon. But you see, many times Christians never intend or set out to turn away from God or to dishonor him. But the Bible says in Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he would hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. So that's for all of us to realize. You know how people compromise their faith, one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom. I only do what God wants us to do when it fits our agenda. And I went and I looked for this scripture because it's so true. See, Lot may have thought he could do a little bit and get by. He thought he could do it every now and then and still please God. But Proverbs 6:27 says, can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? If you're touching it, you know, if you're doing it. In verse 17, and it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad, they had got them out, that he said, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plans. Now the plans was the five cities I was telling you about, not just Solomon and Gomorrah. He said, don't stay around here. He said, well, what you do, the scripture is saying, if you have your Bible, escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. He's giving them instruction. Don't stay in the plains. Go to the mountain. Ah, the scripture says in verse 18, and Lot said unto them, oh, not so, my Lord. Y'all hear Lot, huh? How much is enough and how much is too much? No matter what God is doing in our lives, sometimes we act like it's not enough. And this is what Lot is doing at this time. Oh, no, my Lord. He said, behold now thy servant had found grace in your sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. He said in 20, behold, now, this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. See, he's bargaining. Like he acts like he's afforded the privilege to have anything to say at this moment after his life has been spared, his wife and his children. He said, let me escape hither, and my soul shall live. And he said unto him, talking about the angel, see, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city, which for which thou hast spoken. See, he said, can I just stay in this city? See, he didn't want to get too far from Sodom and Gomorrah. And there was the five cities on the plain. But 22 said, haste thee, escape hither, for I cannot do anything with thou until thou become hither. He said, come on, I can't destroy everything till you get out the way. And so he's saying, therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. Now I told you Zoar was one of the five cities in the plain. You see, the sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered Zoar. How you like that? Here we see Lot wanting to have his way again. When God tells us to do something, we don't have the right to bargain with him. All that God has done and doing and promised to do, Lot still was not satisfied. He was saying, let's make a deal. He said, I know you found favor in me, and has magnified thy mercy, and you saved my life. Look what he said now. But I cannot go to the mountain because of fear. You see, many times we have to leave our comfort zone to receive what's in store for us. It's amazing how we believe that we are afforded the privilege when God tells us something to say. When God tells us something, it's we act like we afforded the privilege to say, okay, God, but. You see, God may be telling us to leave, like I said earlier, a bad relationship. And we say, but. Y'all know some of the things the women say after being beaten over and over and over. You know, the husband is just so unfaithful and, you know, indifferent, whatever, bad relationships. And God tell you to leave, but you say, but. You know, sometimes, you know, God might tell us now is not the time to buy a house. He'd be saying, hold on, because you see, when we get ready to do something, God, we can only see what's in front of us, and God can see in the future. So sometimes when God say no, it's for a reason, and he knows best if you trust him. But God say now is not the time to buy a house, and we say, but. Sometimes God says, stop doing certain things. And we try to negotiate by saying, but. You know, God is always telling us to use our time, money, gifts for kingdom building. Because only what you do for Christ is going to last. And we might say, not now, maybe later, I would, but. And the beat goes on and on and on. The angel agreed and said, now go. God always allows us to have our ways because that's the way he planned it. We free moral agents. But, hey. Our way may come with many hardships, trials, and tribulations, sometimes pure devastation or even death. You see, and now we do it our way and we want our emergencies that we brought on ourselves to become God urgency. We should always be willing to say, thy will, Lord, not my will. You got to remember that God knows best. And if we look at the other scriptures that we have on 24 through 27, and the scripture reads as follows. Then the Lord rained down on Solomon, upon Gomorrah, brimstone, and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the habitats of the city, and that which grew upon the ground, all the vegetation, trees, and everything. God destroyed it. And 26, but his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. You see, now Lot has lost his wife to disobedience. You know, it was told, when you leave, don't look back. They were told to keep it moving and don't look back. She buried the city of sin, evidently, more than the refuge that God had prepared for him, for his people, for her. She often, too, find the allures of this world more captivating and eye-catching, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, more than the things of God. You know, I studied this even deeper one time, and I realized when God told Abraham to leave, they were constantly moving here, moving there, putting up a tent, taking it down, moving. When she had got to Solomon, they were settled. I could imagine her, you know, having a nice place to live and maybe a garden she had started and pretty flowers, and she was stationary. And she probably enjoyed it because she had traveled. But it's still not a reason. Look like once you get settled, you should praise God even more. But she looked back. You see, we sometimes find the ways of this world more pleasing and enticing than the narrow path that God has ordained for his saints to walk. You see, and I went to the book of Luke in the 17th chapter and the 31st verse, and it's sort of about looking back. I want to give it to you in a different perspective so you can really get it in your mind. And the scripture read, In that day, he which shall be up on the rooftop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. And the scripture actually says, remember Lot's wife. Which that scripture before that was talking about when Jesus coming to get us. He's telling us, don't look back. Just come forward. If you're on your rooftop, just come. Don't go back inside to get something. If you're in the field, just leave. He said, remember Lot's wife, Luke said in his verse. And 32 says, whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. Don't look back. You see, she could have been grateful for the deliverance. Now she has no faith, looking only on what she could see. To stop looking back, it takes faith, y'all. Stop beating up on yourself. It takes faith. The Bible in Romans 8:1 said, there is therefore now no condemnation. There's no condemnation. You don't have to look back at your past and always worrying about it. You are who you are today in Christ Jesus. We don't know much about Lot's wife, and the Bible don't even give her name. But one thing she is known for is looking back. You see, this is letting us know when God says to move, move, don't look back. keep it moving. Lot's wife was concerned with what she was losing and couldn't see ahead. You see, many times we believe that we are going through, but it could be that God is bringing us to a new season, a new level, new strength to fight the old devil. But we can't look back. It could be maturing us. And sometimes it's only a test. We have to stop looking back at our lives and figure our problem is because they didn't do this or they didn't do that or my mama didn't do this or my mama did this or didn't do that. Sometime the marriage that didn't work out, keep it moving. Your finances may have been low. Just keep pressing. Because I believe many of us have had some of these things that happen in our lives, and it is our past. And right now, it has nothing to do with where we are now. That just shows you, if you look back over your life and think things over, you could see that you was blessed. You could see the hand of God, how he delivered you out of that, and he delivered you out of that. And when the worst thing that you ever thought could happen to you in life, he delivered you out of that. And then you could think about when this was going on, and he delivered you out of that. So what you think he's going to do for you now? You think he brought you this far to leave you? You think he's going to turn his back on you? He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's saying, if you can't hear my voice because you're overwhelmed with the situation, just trust my plan. I'm God, and I do understand. Nothing that is happening is taking God by surprise. Nothing. Nothing. Remember, your tomorrow is a brand new day full of new grace and mercies. Just be patient. God is really not through with you yet. And always remember, God said, I know the plans and thoughts that I have towards you, said the Lord. Y'all think before the foundation of the world, and he told Jeremiah that in the 29th chapter, that he just going to diss it? He said, I know the thoughts that I have towards you, say the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. And shouldn't we realize that if God have an expected end for us, it's all good? He said, I'm working all things out together for your good, to get to that expected end that I already established for you if you follow me, trust me. I have already established an expected end for you. Remember, God has a plan for your life, but you got to submit, you got to trust, you got to obey. No matter what the circumstances is, no matter what it looks like, or how I feel at the moment, God is still working all things out for you. And he's really holding back weapons that are forming against you that he won't allow to prosper. You got to believe it to achieve it. You see, we have to stop looking back at what has happened, because it has already happened, and we can't change it. We don't have that power. And so many times I have to say, we pray for our people that they get the veil off their eyes, that they could see the light. But you see, God doesn't make a person, God does not take your prayers that you want for a person and make that person be what you want them to be, because where would their life be? you know, where would there being a free moral agent be if you could take it away by your prayers? And what you sometimes praying for may not even be the best things for them or anything that they would want. Think about it. We pray and ask God and give God our petition for our loved ones. But God don't take our prayers and turn somebody totally around. Somebody may, you know, he just don't do it. And if that was the case, prayers that people are praying for you would make you, turn you around and change you to be what they want you to be. So we have to keep that in mind and do. So, you know, you might say, well, Sister Diane, should I pray? Yes. God hears it. And God works with your prayers. But don't think you're going to pray and somebody's going east and you pray to God and God's going to make them go west because that's what you want. So I just want to tell you tonight, keep it moving. Because there will be a brighter day if you trust God, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Hallelujah. You see, I also went in, when I'm doing things like this, always make me think about Job. So I went to Job 8 and 7. It says, though thy beginning was small, yet thy latter end should be greatly increased. Everything that happened to Job, and I don't know what's happening to any of you, but I know you ain't, all of your children and dying one day. I know you didn't lose everything that you had in one day. I don't believe you got so sick till you had to scrape barrels off your body. I don't believe your friends turn their back and your wife curse you about loving God. But through it all, Job never looked back. Not once. And I come to tell you tonight, in the end, he received double for his trouble. So again, I encourage each and every one of us, every one of us, talking about me too, that we cannot move forward by looking back. And that's our lesson for tonight. Glory, hallelujah be to God, the author and the finisher of our faith. And at this time, if anyone would like to say anything, if you would like to pray, if you like to sing, if you would like to comment on a lesson, if you have something that you could add to the lesson, some information that would help us, you can do so at this time. The opportunity is afforded to you at this time. And I thank God for this forum, because many times when you're in Bible study, you know, like maybe at church or something, they teach the Bible study and everybody, you know, go home. But this is a Bible study, and I designed it. Well, it was designed by God way when I started in 2012, that if a person have a question or if they would like to add to it or if they would like to pray, if they would like to sing, they can do it, because this is our Bible study. And I thank God for that. Sometimes it might be something you don't understand. Sometimes you have a question. And the opportunity is being afforded. If anyone have anything they would like to say at this time, you could press the one button on your phone and I'll open your mic. Caller, your number is 504-237. Your mic is open.
Hi, Miss Diane. I really enjoyed your prayer tonight. It opened up some doors for me and showed me don't look back. Whatever I've been through, I hope not to go through it again, but I know to look forward to anything that comes and face me that God would help me get out of it. I really, really enjoy your service tonight, Miss Diane, and please keep it up. I look forward to it. And I pray for everybody that's listening, and you mainly, Miss Diane, and you pray for me. Thank you.
We always do, my sister, and thank you. And thank you for your comments. Anyone else would like to say anything at this time? Well, if there's nothing else to be said, I'm going to leave with this script. Oh, caller, your number. Oh, she went off the line. No, I think this might be here. Oh, okay. Caller, your number is 504-458-98. Your mic is open.
Yes, I just wanted to say thank you so much. That was a great lesson, and it's just so amazing how, you know, God is really speaking on all levels. It's just so amazing. I'm telling you, as soon as I logged on, my daughter called to tell me about, she heard that the Superdome had caught on fire, but she had a dream the night before that somebody had went into an attic, and they were in the attic, and then they was like running from the enemies, and then some kind of way it took a fire started. And it was burning up the enemies, and she didn't understand the dream. But we was talking about the fire just yesterday. And then I told her, I said, I'm going to call you as soon as I get off the line and hear, look at what you was talking about and just the whole story. And it's just, God is just so amazing because he want us to go forward and let some things go. And that was just really, if it was for nobody else, it was for me because it's I have a tendency to look back, and even though I have forgiven and just, forgiven people in my past and just things that have happened, it just still, I tend to look back, like what you say with the marriage, like, oh, if the marriage would have worked out, if I'd have stayed in there a little longer or something like that, and God was assuring me, like, no, that was a season. We go through seasons and seasons of a reason and a change, and, you know, that was just a season that I went through, and I'm just so thankful, you know, that you can't keep looking back. You have to just keep pressing forward and just keep moving forward. And I just really, really enjoyed how you broke everything down. And I just wanted to share that, you know.
Thank you for sharing, my sister. Thank you for the encouragement. Thank you for calling in. And God bless you. Caller, your number is 504-615-19. Your mic is open.
Hey, Sister Diane. Good evening. Hello?
Yes, I hear you, baby.
Oh, okay, good evening. I think a good takeaway is you hear a lot of people that involved in something that they don't really comprehend. So I think that's something to get out the story that you talked about tonight. You know, we say that we've been given the grace of God, but we still we don't out of the place that we're in. We want to stay in that place, but we say that we live off of grace. And when God bless you and say, look, leave, that means God has something for you. So I think that a good lesson is knowing when God is speaking and knowing how to move, but understanding what God is saying. And a lot of people understand this. People say they live by the grace of God, but then they always wishing that they're forgiven. Well, if you've got grace, then you've been forgiven. So and so it's an endless cycle where it's reciprocated over and over and over. Again, people don't really comprehend what it means to be in God's graces. And, you know, this story is a good example of that, you know, because God had them the whole time. But we always want to hold on to something from the past because that's what we know. And a lot of times we're afraid to move forward because we fear the unknown. So for your lesson tonight, I just want to drop that little piece in there. Revelations 3:16, you know, I need to know if you're hot or cold, because if you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. So you have to have a position and know your position in God and understand and comprehend what God is saying to you, what God is doing to you, and what God is willing to do you. So thank you for allowing God to use your sister. God bless you. Peace.
Thank you so much, my brother, and thank you for the comments that you made. You know, it all takes and it enlightens, you know, and I look forward for the comments, because sometimes you could say something that someone could understand better than when I said it. We all in this together. This is our Bible study. We are one body, the body in Christ. And I thank you, my brother, for the encouragement. I thank you for your insight in the word as well. And I thank you for being a caller on the line.
Thank you. Thank God for you.
Thank God for you as well, my brother.
Thank you.
Caller, your button press and then it unpressed. I'm going to just open your mic if you don't have anything to say. You don't have to. But caller, your number is 504-256-56. If you would like to say anything, your mic is open.
Minister Diane?
Yes, baby.
Oh, okay, I didn't remember pressing, but I'd like to say a benediction, if that's okay with you.
Of course. Let me make sure there's no other buttons pressed. Anyone who has anything they would like to say at this time, you can. If not, we're going to have our benediction. Okay, Sister Barbara, I turn it over to you, and you could come to us anyway. Wait, someone pressed the button. Sister Pam, that's what I meant to say. Wait a minute, one person pressed a button. Hold on.
Okay.
Caller, your number is 504-338-05. Your mic is open.
I just want to say it was a beautiful lesson. I had trouble getting through, but I kept calling until I got through. And all I want to say is this. When I look back over my life and I think things over, I can truly say that I've been blessed. I've got a testimony. And that's all I got to say. Your
praise
past is your
praise.
Testimony and your key to your future in God. Be blessed.
Praise God. Praise God. The participation tonight is beautiful. It is beautiful.
Amen.
We have each other. Beautiful. To
Amen.
Me, absolutely beautiful. And I thank God for each and every one of you. Participation is good. So at this time, Sister Pam, I turn everything over to you, and you could come to us the way that God leads on your heart.
Good evening, everybody. The benediction comes from Hebrews 13:20-21. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equipped with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. I thank you, my sister. Sister Pam is our prayer warrior that brings our petitions to God and call out the people who have asked for prayer on the first Sunday, on the first Wednesday of every month. And now she took assignment of the benediction. I love it. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Sister Pam. Glory be to God.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Thank you.
Well, that's our lesson for tonight. I pray that someone was enlightened. Someone maybe just have food for thought. Someone has something they can meditate on. You see, the seed is planted. The seed will be watered, but it is God that gives the increase. And I thank him for that. God gives the increase. So until next Wednesday, it is my prayer that everybody be blessed. Good night. Good night, everybody.